Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Canadian Bacon.
I watched the second half of Canadian Bacon.
And this is the other half.
Canada Mun!
Hey?
Well, yet another movie that's directed by an American that's about Canada.
It mostly takes place in America.
But at least we have more Canadians in this movie.
There
including
is more
John
Canadians.
John Candy.
John Candy. Yeah. He's Canadian.
He's Canadian. And this was like his last movie that was ever released, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Because this is in the late or mid-90s, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. It was very interesting watching a movie by Michael Moore.
Documentarian.
Documentarian.
Turned one. It's the only thing he's ever done like this. A scripted comedy movie that he wrote.
It feels like it.
I was like watching the movie. I'm like, was this written by like weird like Mad Magazine or like, you know, National Lampoon writers? Because it felt more like that. And then when I learned that it was him writing it, I was like, this guy's got some pretty
honestly
good comedy chops.
It was not as bad as I was expecting.
I actually really liked it.
Maybe it's because it caters to our viewpoint.
Maybe it caters to what we're currently living through.
Yeah, maybe, but also kind of depressing where it's like, remember all these issues we had in the 90s? They're all still kind of here.
But no, because these weren't issues in the 90s. This was, that was the whole thing. Apparently, like, Michael Moore was like, what's the most crazy thing I can imagine? Oh, yeah, an American president who's creating a fake war with Canada in order to distract people. Like, that was him going over the top, you know? Now it's really happening.
Yeah, that's true. It was a little on the nose being like, there was a whole moment where they're trying to like justify a war with Canada and like trying to figure out like everything. And I'm just like, oh man, this is. Well, here's the thing though, it's like nowadays they don't even have to justify, they just do it.
They just fucking do it. And then they're like, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do about it?
Assholes, and they spit in our face.
Yeah, that's basically it. We don't have to worry about the approval of the American people.
But it was so funny, this movie. The only thing was, it was funny to see a movie that is directed by someone who usually is a documentarian, because like, I think overall the direction was really good, but there's some moments where like he's shooting people talking, and if it's not shot in one wide, which it should be because it's usually done better that way. If it's like, you know, like a chest up, you know, like kind of close up shot of a person talking, they're all exactly the same.
Yeah. That's like how you frame a documentary.
There's no sense of like eye line or anything. Or like if characters are sitting in a circle, it's just like one locked off shot and then another locked off shot. And it's exactly the same framing because it's like he's a documentarian. He's used to like shooting everyone the same way.
Yeah.
But the wide shots work very well. I thought everyone was so fucking funny in this movie.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that.
Yeah,
I was surprised.
Like, even like Benny from the Mummy.
Benny from the Mummy was a real random one to throw in there.
I don't remember the character's name.
It's Roy like, Boy.
Roy Boy?
Roy Boy.
Roy Boy. You got Roy Boy, you got Boomer, which is probably one of the best names.
Bud Boomer.
Bud Boomer.
John Candy's name. So these are all Americans, pretty much.
Yeah.
These are all like characters who are playing Americans anyway.
Cabral, he's an American.
Cabral, yeah.
He was in Do the Right Thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
he's great in this as well. A bunch of other people. Fucking, what's her name? The lady who's married to...
Was married to...
Is married to, isn't he?
No,
isn't
they're
she?
Not married
anymore,
no.
Rhea Perlman, is that her name?
Yeah, Rhea Perlman.
Yeah, yeah. She's great
Honey.
In this. It plays Honey. She's good in this, even though I think Honey is probably the worst character in the whole movie from
yeah,
the very little I see
is.
Of her.
She doesn't really do much. She just is kind of crazy.
I like the president, Alan Alda.
The guy from MASH.
Yeah, the guy from MASH.
The guy from MASH. Stu Smiley.
MASH.
I don't remember that guy. The actual
Kevin Pollak.
Kevin Pollak. He was great.
Yeah.
I liked him in it.
He's
I like,
great.
Obviously, Rip Torn.
Rip Torn is killing it in this. That was the other thing that was so funny about this movie. It's clearly like Michael Moore was like, I think inspired by like current events at the time. I think he was writing it about like another unpopular war that like Bush was getting us into or whatever. Was it Bush probably at the time?
Well, this time
it would be
H.W. Bush. I think it might have been that or early Bill Clinton.
Or early Clinton. Yeah, so this was, it was about something that was happening at the time, but he was still obviously playing off of like Dr. Strangelove as well,
mm-hmm.
which is what Rip Torn is absolutely fucking like digging his teeth into. It's just like playing this rabid, insane guy who just wants to like drop a bomb anywhere like the president wants him to.
Yes.
He's great. I loved Rip Torn in this.
Yeah.
Who else is in this movie? Oh, who else? I don't know who else is in this movie.
I guess we'll find
out.
We'll
guess we'll find
out.
I do have some surprises later on in the movie. A little reunion.
A little reunion?
From a movie we just recently saw.
Oh, I'm excited to see that or hear what that is. Mm-hmm. But let me start out with this movie. It begins with something called propaganda films. As I guess is like Michael Moore's production company. I was like, uh-oh, am I going to be indoctrinated into Canada? No, I realize this is not much to do with Canada.
Not at all.
Just like most things in media, Canada's more views as a scapegoat.
This was the other thing I thought was very funny, is like this and like South Park, right, are using Canada as a scapegoat for really just like Americans are stupid and like hysterical.
Yeah, look at a country that's right next to us. It's kind of like not...
Everything's kind of working out for them.
Yeah.
Let's try to get a reason to not like them anymore. The other thing I found interesting about this movie is it reminded me so much of 1941.
Okay. You've got
like John Candy and a bunch of other like hysterical military people pointing the finger at like an outside force. Whereas in 1941, it was poorly written because that outside force was a genuine threat. Here, it's way funnier because like Canada's not really doing anything.
No. They're just chilling.
Yeah.
One of my earlier experiences with a Canadian was I was at Comic-Con drinking with some friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we started talking to this Canadian guy, and he was fucking drunk. And he kept coming over, and he was like, you guys, in America, do shit. And we're like, yeah, man, but like you have healthcare. And he's like, yeah, I guess. And you have like social services. Yeah, but but you guys do stuff. And I'm like, I mean, is any of it that great? Like,
yeah, right.
Is that, we do.
You're at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Is that really the most exciting thing? Is that more exciting than universal healthcare?
Is that more exciting than not going into debt because you broke your leg? I don't know. That sounds pretty exciting
to
me.
That seems a lot better. Yeah.
But maybe, you know, this is a while ago. So, you know, we're all in our 20s. So maybe it was more exciting back then to be doing stuff.
I suppose. But it's also like you're Canada. Just if you want to do stuff, just come to America and do it. And then go back to Canada and take advantage of all the... Canada
all the wonderful
has to
things,
offer.
All the
yeah.
wonderful things you got up there. Yeah. Anyway, so the movie starts off with a rendition of God Bless America again, because it's like a remix. I don't know if he like wrote this for the song or like a very specific
or if somebody else wrote it or something. Yeah,
yeah, but it's like because you know, God bless her again because you know the trouble that she's in.
This does feel like something from back in the day. It's kind of crazy that this, like, I think this does predate the War on Terror.
Yeah.
But it really kind of called like War on Terror, like
it did.
Energy.
Definitely like, called that. I felt like that was bubbling up.
Oh, yeah. And Michael Moore, man, like, you know, say what you will about him. He also called Trump winning the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And as a similar guy who did the same thing, it's not a fun place to be in, but you can be pretty funny about stuff.
That's why I have a super dark sense of humor about
it.
Yeah,
exactly.
You see Niagara Falls, which, as we all know, is probably the most iconic border between America and
what other border exists?
Exactly. Well, I mean, the whole rest of the country has a big border.
Yeah, but nothing's
Canada.
Iconic.
That's why I said it's the most iconic.
I know. It's just funny because it's like, what's the second most iconic border? There is none. Like Michigan?
Yeah, you cross the Great Lake.
Yeah, exactly.
That seems cool.
I suppose.
I don't know.
Yeah. That's like saying like you're my favorite son. And it's like, well, I'm your only son.
Yeah, exactly. My mom says that to me all the time, and I love it each time. Presidential motorcade's going by. They're going up to meet with someone who shut down basically this military weapons manufacturer who's contracted with the government. I believe they're called Hacker. And the guy who owns it is Mr. Hacker.
Mr. Hacker is an evil, crazy old man.
Yep. Not like today. So then the motorcade.
The only problem is Hacker's old. Nowadays, it'd be a young man.
That'd be a young
man. I guess young meaning like 50.
50. Tons of ketamine.
Yeah.
They said the news reports were like, no one cares that the president's here, actually. He has such low ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Last time the president here was... McKinley, and he was shot. And then during this time, while we're listening to his nude broadcast.
Imagine, the emperor truly has no clothes.
And no one would watch because the president's so
yeah,
not
nobody
popular.
Cares. Yeah.
Nude, whatever. I mean, honestly, nowadays, if he was just, there's a shot of him naked somewhere, I don't think anyone would care.
They ever just be like, that's AI.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of Trump supporters would walk around naked because they got to support their guy in the White
True.
House.
You're right, they got it. So someone's wrapping themselves up with duct tape. It's our boy, Roy Boy. Played by the guy who was Benny in The Mummy.
Yes, and there's nothing else he's ever been in.
I feel like not.
No. He's the brother in There Will Be Blood.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
It's been so long since I've seen There
Will
Be Blood.
He's the guy who shows up and he's like, I'm your brother, Daniel.
Oh, shit.
That's him.
I gotta rewatch that movie. Yeah, I love that movie, really, but good. I forgot. I did not realize it.
Yeah. He's awesome, man.
Anyway, so, but the news is on saying, like, hey, you know, because hackers shut down, you get some discount weapons from all the shutdown factories. So go on over there. And so people are driving over there. He tries to drive himself off the cliff of Niagara Falls, but the rail stops him. Mm-hmm. And he gets out of his car, and the motorcade of the president drives by.
Who's trying to do this? Hacker?
No, Roy Boy's trying to kill
Roy
himself.
Roy Boy, he's because he duct taped himself. Got
yes,
it. Okay.
Because he was fired or laid off because hacker factory closed. Shut down.
Yeah, got it.
Which I guess is the main hub of
money in this area.
Yeah. So it was apparently the cops get $25 if they talk people off from killing themselves at Niagara Falls.
That's pretty awesome.
But they get $50 if they make them jump.
What the fuck? That's awesome. And we know who's a cop in that area.
And when we see John Candy, aka Bud Boomer, standing there watching him, being like, hey, well, if we get enough money, if this guy jumps, as they see Roy Boy jump, he's like, well, we can maybe make enough money to almost match what we were making at Hacker, he says to Honey. Are they in a relationship? I think they are.
Kind of, sort of.
I can't tell.
Can't really tell if they're married.
Doesn't
they
seem like a priority for either of them.
No, not really. Yeah.
They just seem to be there.
Yeah, they're in each other's lives.
Yeah, pretty much. But they
also, how good is John Candy looking? That fucking beard and long hair.
He does look pretty good. He does look pretty good.
Yeah, he's like so rugged. He kind of looks like that, like one gif of Robert Redford with the beard and like in the wild. Where,
oh yeah, where he does the nodding.
Where he does the nod, except for if you took that gif and then you stretched it.
A little bit, yeah. A little bit. So then, let's see. They actually are about to like look at him. They're actually going to shoot him off of there,
dude.
But he's wearing his good hat that I guess Bud wants back. So, but the Honey shoots at him anyway, but doesn't hit his head, and he tries to fall, but his duct tape gets caught, and he can't kill himself. So they collect him. He's in the back of the cop car. He's complaining about having no job, and he's like, "Ah, well, you know, it's hard for all of us out here," says Boomer, and Roy Boy says, yeah, well, not all of us have nepotism, okay, and can get a free job as a cop or whatever, because you just get them. So then they drive to the hacker going on a business sale, which is a big giant, someone has like a missile strapped to their car they're driving off with.
That's awesome.
And they go into Hacker Dynamics, and the auction says, peace through fear since 1947.
That's awesome.
Which is like, that's some good shit. Also, has there been peace since then?
No, because they've been closed.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. So then Cabral is there, who is, I guess, another cop, it seems like. And
yeah.
He's like, where have you guys been? They're like, you know, we're pulling stiffs off the falls, but don't worry. We didn't get 50 of them, so we didn't get the bonus. So they're trying to bid on this missile launcher. No one seems to really want it, but Roy Boy does. He buys it.
Nice.
And then Mr. Hacker goes up, and he's like, hey, I'm going to do a chat. I know you're all upset that I closed this plant and put you all in the streets, but I'll let you also know that I, too, am very sad that I had to do this.
Oh.
I'm real sad about this. During this time, Rip Torn, the general, I guess acting general.
Yeah.
Comes with the president, and
he's together,
upset. Yes, together, all together. And Stu Smiley is also there.
Yes.
And
who was Stu Smiley? Is he just like the vice president, or is he just like
he's
a
security advisor?
Security advisor, got
security
it.
Security advisor. So he's there, and the vice president doesn't do anything, Mike. Come on.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
unless they suddenly are all negotiating every single peace deal ever and doing a terrible job at
doing an awful job, yeah.
Anyway, Rip Torn is complaining. He's like, oh, I don't have to be here. All these stupid closings, all these bleeding heart penny pinchers. Who the hell is this hacker guy and why is he mad? And the president's like, man, I don't know why everyone's so mad at me. I'm the only president who hasn't started a war. Because there's like no one to fight. We won basically.
Yeah.
And Stu's like, well, you know, you can just get your army and send them anywhere. Guaranteed 30-point boost. Just send your army anywhere. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter where it is.
He's like, I'm not gonna start a war for popularity, but what could I do for 20 points? So Hacker introduces, here's the president that you all voted, that I guess a thin majority of you voted for.
Oh, man, that really cuts deep here.
Really cuts deep here. Yeah, it really does. That one stays true. So then the president goes up, gives a speech. Boomer comes up and he's like, I want a copy of the speech, Mr. Stu. And he's like, okay, I don't know if I can do that. But then Roy Boy shoots a missile at the president.
Holy shit.
And Boomer jumps and saves him. And there's a photo of a very...
With the missile?
Him being close. Yeah, he misses with the missile. No, he jumps and tackles the president.
Oh, so I thought he jumped in front of the missile.
No, he did not get it.
Okay, got it. Okay.
He landed on top of the president.
Got it,
and it was kind of gay, which is funny.
Really?
Well, it's like he's got real close and likes the president a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. They're driving back, and they're like, glad you're good friends with everyone. Glad you saved the president so you could have Roy Boy not be in jail. So they just drove off.
Tried to assassinate
the president.
As we know, if you try to assassinate the president, you're heard about once. And you'll never be heard of again.
Exactly.
Exactly. We're not going to look into motivation.
Yeah.
Unless you live with a trans person, in which case we're absolutely going to bring that
up. We're going to bring that up a lot. I think all he does is live with a bunch of duct tape.
Yeah.
But Bud's talking about, I wrote this down. Buddy wants to get on the show Cops. They're all talking about how they love cops.
Oh, this comes into play.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad I brought it up then.
Yeah.
So then we're cut back to the president. He's waking up from bed. And Stu is like, hey, so you got 15 points from almost being assassinated.
That's realest shit in the world, man.
But then they went back down because no one actually cared if you died or not.
What is up with Michael fucking Moore and like absolutely calling like actual real life shit that's happening right now?
Yeah, well, you should have done it during an election.
Yeah,
that's when you get
that. That's when you get that boost.
That's when you get that boost. In.
You can sell all those photos of you bleeding out of your stupid ear.
Yeah, he should have instead. Well, the problem was he got the only photo of him being was him being saved and having an almost kiss with John Candy.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of putting his fist
that's
up
gay.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is not very alpha, I would say. But so the polls in the end didn't actually end up moving. I think the general's like, I wish we were fighting the Russians again. And he's like, but the Russians are in such shambles, they wouldn't slap us even if we tried. And they're like, well, you know, they do have a lot of missiles in Kazakhstan. We could maybe do something there. No one's heard of Kazakhstan.
Borat's
do you know what
from
that
there.
Is? But Borat wasn't around back then.
I know.
We didn't know. Like, we should start another war. He's like, I don't know about that. Maybe we can start a cold war where no one gets hurt. Let's call the Russians, see what they're up to. So they fly the Russians out, and they ride them out to the White House. They hang out and talk to them. They eat KFC. And
oh, my God.
I know. Yeah, I know. I know, Mike.
So in this movie, an unpopular president, won by a small majority and has a bunch of assassination attempts, eats fast food in the White House and while inviting the Russians.
Yes.
That's fucking insane. Yeah.
Who knew we'd get such biting commentary from Canadian bacon about our own country?
I'll be completely honest. When we were looking through a bunch of movies that just had Canada in the title or had something to do with Canada, and I was like, oh, Michael Moore movie, this will probably be a lot of fun. Like, maybe we'll make fun of like the weird untimeliness of the comedy that was made back in the day.
No,
not
if
at
anything,
all.
This movie was probably the best age comedy I've seen in a while.
For real.
Like, there's really nothing like super offensive in it, really.
Not really.
It's just kind of like
not at
clowning
all.
Unless you really love America. I guess.
In which case it's very offensive.
Very offensive.
Yeah.
They would never eat KFC in the White House.
Oh, wait, only McDonald's.
Shit. See, that's the thing is I wonder if they like did that and they're like, this is ridiculous, right? Like no one would do such a thing of like invite people over and
eat
KFC.
We should be like reading like reviews from the time and see people like, this went a little bit over the top. This isn't realistic.
I would love to check that. Because it was not well reviewed at the time.
Nobody liked this movie.
Yeah.
I loved it though.
I had a good time. Like I was surprised. I was like, "Am I stupid?" Because I thought this movie was funny.
The same thing. I was like, "Am I dumb? Like, there's something wrong with me?"
Yeah. Because like your audience score doesn't like it that
much.
Nobody like,
no likes this
no
fucking
one seems
movie.
To like it, but yeah. I don't know. It was funny.
I liked it.
Anyway, so yeah, they say yeah. The Russians are like, we don't want to go back to the old days where we're fighting. Actually, in fact. It sucks for us. We just make lives better for our own people.
Mm-hmm.
We just sit around and give them, you know, free VH1 or whatever, or like give them, we're trying to work on air conditioning or universal heating, universal plumbing, all that stuff. We're trying to work on it. I think it's all very important for us.
Wow.
All we did was spend so much money on the Cold War and we didn't get anything out of it. It's a huge waste.
Yeah.
Which, like, okay, that didn't quite age well.
That did not age well at all. That's very true.
I wish it did.
I wish.
It did not, though.
I wish. We do have to remember that this is taking place in, like, the mid to late 90s.
Yeah, yeah. This is after Cold War, right?
Exactly.
So they're probably rebuilding at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
And not being like, why don't we take more land?
What's going on in the Ukraine?
Yeah. Going over there, huh? So then, they're trying to figure out, what are we going to do? We need an enemy now. Like, we can't do Russians. They're giving up.
Right.
Even though Rip Torn actually tackles the president or the prime minister, president of Russia, tackles him and then was like, come on, fight, you bastard.
That's awesome.
There's
no fighting in the war room.
It's pretty much that. So then they're like trying to show all these US enemies and they're all dead. And then at one point someone brings up like, what about aliens? The American people hate aliens.
And Rip Torn is like, what?
Shh, that's my past job. Then they say, what about international terrorism?
Holy shit. What if we blow up the Twin Towers?
Pentagon too.
Yeah, a little bit of the Pentagon. A little bit.
That's much. Rip Torn's like, I work there. All right, well, just a little bit. I don't care about the seaside. I hate Becky in marketing.
There's a marketing wing of the Pentagon. Ethan's looking at me like, obviously there is. There probably is. It's just imagining like that's like part of the same like building. It is not another place. Like imagine like going to
they
the
have all real estate. They're gonna do it.
That's true. There's an entire
and
Pentagon.
And you've got quick access to everyone else who's actually doing military stuff over there.
I also just think it's very funny. Ethan's like, okay, like in your brain, you're like, I gotta come up with a job that exists in a building. Marketing.
I have a bias. I want marketing to keep being in buildings.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, but then they say, they joke like, what about like Canada?
Mm-hmm.
And then we cut to a Canadian hockey game.
Yeah.
Where they're all singing the Canadian national anthem.
Oh, shit. We should be doing that, remember? We've been doing that in every episode.
Yes, we have.
Okay.
All right,
let's go.
Are you ready? Here we go.
All right.
Bring up those lyrics. I'm not.
Oh Canada, our home and native land, true patriot.
Oh, when is this gonna end? It's so boring. I'm just doing what John Candy's doing in the scene.
Oh yeah, tell me
John
what
Candy's
happens.
There, he's complaining like, I hate fucking watching hockey over here because they always do this stupid song. That's annoying. What even is on their flag? A weed leaf?
This is honestly what I love about this movie is like casting John Candy, one of the biggest, pardon the pun, Canadian actors and comedians,
yeah.
And casting him as an American that
is,
hates
he
Canada.
Probably knows all the. He's probably heard everything.
No, exactly. I love it.
So they're gonna, the American team's visiting the Canadian champions, and they just keep talking shit the whole time. And in fact, at one point, John Candy says like. Like they're talking to him the whole time, but he says, their beer sucks. And everyone stops, including the people on the hockey team. They stop and slow down. They look at him. And then they all get in a huge fight. And the whole place starts fighting.
Nice.
Cut to Stu. He's watching things explode with the general. And the general is... Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to explain this joke.
Okay.
So the general, they're watching... You know how they have the first-person footage of like bombs, like a missile like landing and dropping and like and blowing up?
Yeah.
So they're watching stuff blow up, and he's like, yeah, see this? We got him right there. We blew him up. And Stu's like, wow, how'd you know that was a nuclear facility? He's like, oh, and that one we goofed. It was actually a hospital.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, my God, Michael Moore. The man is an oracle.
That's the thing, though, is like, this might have been happening back then.
And that's fair.
That's probably fair. I guarantee it's probably happened.
It's not, yeah, he's not looking into the future. He's just referring to the past, and we've just not learned
itself.
From it. Yeah, exactly.
So then Stu's like, well, that's crazy. And the guy walks and the general walks away. And Stu sees on the news the fight in Canada. And the Canadians are fighting. They have a huge brawl with these Americans. He's like,
Interesting.
And I love this part because there's a news reporter coming out and being like, and here's the main person who did all the incident. And John Candy's walking in. He's cuffed by the cops. He's like, I don't get it. Like, all I said is your guys' beer sucks. And without hesitating, the cop holding him just grabs him and punches him. And they all start fighting. It's great.
Awesome.
It's just great timing.
It's great. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like it's genuinely very well timed, like comedy, which is hard to do.
It is hard to do.
Yeah.
And Stu's like, wow, these Canadians are mad.
about their beer.
They're mad about everything. So then Stu goes to, I guess, the international, like the place where they research other countries. That's part of the US. Sure. I don't know what part of the government that is.
Probably doesn't exist.
Probably not. But no. He goes to the Canada desk, and there's some guy named Gus, who apparently was annoying, so they put him in charge of Canada because nothing ever happens there. Uh-huh. But Gus was there saying, like, the whole Vietnam War was my idea. It would have been over fast, but they took it way too far. He's like, you know these Canadians? They're fucked up. They have an inferiority complex. He was like, oh, yes, go on. He's like, you know that tower? No one knows why they built it, the Toronto Tower.
CN Tower.
The CN Tower. Yeah. I think it was not called the CN Tower back then.
It was called the CN Tower.
Was it? Okay.
Because later on they referred to it as the
CN Tower then.
Yeah. That's the one where those two guys climbed up to the top?
Yes, and, yes, yeah, yes.
Went back in time?
Went back in time.
Yeah.
And so, but like, no one could figure out its purpose. And then they say, these Canadians are always trying to ruin our lives. They got Celsius, the metric system, Neil Young.
If Celsius, the metric system, do the same thing.
And then they walk.
Neil Young is a reasonable thing.
Yeah,
to
that's fair.
That's fair. Yeah.
So they're walking out and they say, "We admired them. No streets or
no streets.
No homeless people. No crime. No minorities. How'd they do that?" And they said the entire government's run by socialists. Not gonna get away with this. So Stu goes to the war room.
Yeah,
that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And they say, "Let's invade Canada." They're like, "The American people are never gonna buy this." And they say, they'll buy whatever we want them to. You know this.
Fair.
And then a black guy says, how are we going to get Americans to hate Canadian people? Hell, they're whiter than us. And they're like, do you know that they got rid of Miss Canada? And the president's like, that's crazy. How long ago did they do that? After saying all these other things.
Yeah.
Like, only like a year ago. And they're like, it's terrible. Stu's like, don't worry. Give me 1 week. Americans will be burning maple leaves in the streets. So we get a montage of news.
Mm-hmm.
And the reporter's like, our neighbors to our north are building up a military buildup on our border. And they have a bunch of footage of people doing military drills.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, this is the news report says, Canadians, they walk among us. And they start naming off all these celebrities that are Canadian.
Jim Carrey.
Which is, yep, Jim Carrey's on there. Yeah. And it was very funny because John Candy's looking at this going like, oh. How could they?
That's
getting
awesome.
Madder and madder, and they're like, you know, the CN Tower, it transmits nuke codes across Canada. That's what it's there for. They're ready to prepare for war. And it's like, why do they own the number one tech in Zambonis, the little things that do the ice?
Yeah, the ice. Yeah, the
ice things. And he says, like, we make all their weapons too. Like, why are Canadians taking so much advantage of us? And then Stu's on TV being like, you know, Canada has no culture whatsoever. When's the last time you were hanging out with your spouse and said, let's order some Canadian.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it's like poutine. That's kind of it.
Canadian bacon?
That's just the type of slice of bacon.
It's back bacon, yeah. Yeah. Tim Hortons?
Tim Hortons, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just poutine.
It's kind of really it. I mean, there's like, probably some other stuff that I don't know about, but like poutine is kind of the one that they've exported successfully, I feel.
I'm going to look up what.
And also poutine, you can have like once and then you die, you know, like it's such a heavy meal.
Once and then you die.
Which is probably why Americans love it.
25 traditional dishes.
All right, let's go.
From Canada. You need to try what's a Canadian. First one is literally poutine.
Yeah, it's the one everyone knows, baby.
Nova Scotia lobster roll. That's just a lobster roll. it's a particular type of bacon.
We're gonna piss so many people off right now.
I know. Bannock is a form of bread that serves a staple in diets of early settlers and fur traders.
That sounds terrible. Why would you keep
making
that?
Here's what it looks like. It looks like ass. Yeah.
It might be good.
Maybe. Montreal-style smoked meat. Yeah, there's nothing.
Okay, it's just smoked meat.
Yeah, blood pudding from Nova Scotia.
How's that different from British blood
pudding? Yeah, a lot of this is just either British or French food.
Like, oh, we made it somewhat similar.
Number eight is game meat, a traditional Canadian food deeply rooted in the country's indigenous and settler history.
Oh, no, this list is really scraping. Game meat.
That's
shoot
number
outside.
Eight, and this is top 25.
I'm going to say that if I ever go hunting again, I'm going to kill something and be like, it's Canadian delicacy, game meat.
A bison burger.
I mean, if that came from Canada, that did... people were eating those out here.
Jig's dinner, also known as boiled or Sunday dinner, is a traditional Canadian meal rooted in Newfoundland. And Newfoundland cuisine is typically boiled salt beef and corned beef served with a side of turnips, carrots, cabbage, and potatoes. Sounds fucking awful.
I can't imagine why that one didn't take off.
Yeah, beaver tails.
I mean, think about how much Mexican food there is here.
That's what I'm
and
saying.
And then, like, there's nothing from Canada.
Nothing from Canada.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing at all.
It's too cold to make anything else.
Yeah, you gotta it's like salt food, things to survive. Yeah. Meanwhile, Mexico, they're fucking grilling on the streets, having a great time. Bring that up here.
They've got beans.
Oh, you're referencing something off mic. I see, Michael. Well, then I'm going to continue and close this conversation off. Boomer's hearing all this news, right? And he's getting worked up at the bar. And he's like, we got to go guard our country. We're at the border. Mm-hmm. We have a job to do. So there's a montage of him whipping up everyone.
Got to close that border.
Yeah. Montage of them giving everyone guns, free guns, of course.
Of course.
It's America.
Of course.
Guarding bowling alleys and checking bags and writing things on the wall. It's putting up signs that say Bomb Canada and arresting people if they have... No, Mike, that's crazy. They're not gonna do that. If they're drinking Canadian beer, they arrest them.
Oh, that sucks. Canadian beer sucks.
They're drinking out in public too, but that's, you know, he's brown bagging and they take him out of the brown
bag. That's right.
And
it's like The Wire, eh?
Exactly. Infringing on our rights, eh? Guns.
Omar is coming, eh? Oh yeah, he sucks dick. That Omar. That Omar guy. Do I smell like poutine?
They made maple leaves Canada legal over here for everyone. They're
that's
no
crazy
legal.
That's crazy.
Shut it all down. So guns, they got guns. They're pointing them over the Niagara Falls, like they're gonna shoot people across Niagara Falls.
That's
like
awesome.
That's the way they go.
Yeah,
that's what I said, the most iconic border, though.
Yeah.
Stu's talking to Hacker, and the Hacker's like, you know, you gotta give the Americans a real threat, because Hacker
is not a real
Stu's
threat.
Stu's basically in the pocket of Hacker, is what it seems like. So he's like, Americans won't go to war unless they truly believe their lives are threatened. And I'm like, that's not fucking accurate.
That's not true. You just have to sign them up and then they'll go.
Which is funny, but during the time, though, accurate, because like people were excited to go to war at 9/11.
Yes.
They were hyped as hell.
Exactly.
But nowadays, ain't no one hyped for that shit.
Not at all.
We got 20 TikToks to watch. You can watch
TikToks overseas.
You can watch TikToks, but my algorithm might show me a war photo or something.
That is true.
That'll bum
I don't
want
to know that exists.
I don't want to know that exists. Yeah. I'm going to live in peace. Now I know, and it's ruined my day, and thanks.
Oh, thanks for that. Now I have to watch 800 more TikToks to forget about
it.
That.
Yeah, I bleach.
I bleach. I got to see an AI video of a cat dancing.
With rainbows coming out its paws, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Sad. I can picture that in my head. It's disgusting.
It's awful.
Anyway, so the Canadian Prime Minister is on the phone. He calls them up, and they hang up, and it's like, oh, that didn't go well. Apparently, they don't want to go to war, so we're gonna have to turn up the heat, says Stu. So they basically are like, well, we could just start a war with Canada right now. And they're like, no, you can't do that. It'll be over too quickly.
Yeah.
We've had too many wars where they end so quickly and America gets bored.
Yeah,
we're not going to make any money off that. We're not going to bring people. So I guess I should mention that if they do go to war, one of the other things that happens as a benefit is Hacker will then be able to open more buildings and get more people jobs,
yes.
Which is what people care about. They just care about jobs. They don't care how they get it.
Very fair.
Very fair.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so basically he threatens them, and he's like, we got to stretch this out. So they get Americans to sabotage a hydro plant, but they're dressed in Canadian outfits, and they're going to basically bomb it at Niagara Falls nearly. But they get caught by, of course, our good friend Boomer.
Boomer.
And they're like, shut up, we're America. He's like, no, you're not. Tell us one thing about the Cardinals pitcher. And he's like, This guy's like, you don't know anything. You're not American. Get out of here. He's like, give us another one. No, we can't. You guys are definitely Canadian.
Yeah.
We cut to Stu. He's playing chess with Hacker. And he's like, what's this? So
have you seen the Canadian Prime Minister yet?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think I know who it is.
Yeah.
I think I got spoiled by the
The opening credits?
Yeah.
I never see him in my half of the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
You just hear him.
Yeah.
But you know who he is.
I know who he is.
So then, I didn't hear him in my half. He was just kind of like.
I didn't hear him in my half either. But he was during the ending credits. They show a video of him.
Really? Yeah. That's so weird. anyway, so they're basically installing this hacker Hellstone.
Mm.
And they think they're giving it to.
Hacker Hellstorm.
Hellstorm, yes. And yeah. They're giving it to Canada.
Yes.
Saying it's a devastating weapon, but it doesn't actually do anything. It says it just like predicts weather or some bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that I'm going to advertise that Canadians have it, and that's going to make people want to go to war.
Yes. Yes.
So Cabral.
It's the Doomsday Machine in Dr. Strangelove.
Exactly. Yeah. Cabral goes to Huddy's home for some reason, and she's paranoid as hell about the CN Tower. Mm-hmm. So she's making them out of like mashed potatoes and everything. And like just putting it everywhere around her house. She's going crazy.
Mm.
And he's like, that's crazy. we got to go because Boomer has a special mission for us. We're actually going over to Canada. And we're going to mess it all up.
Yeah.
And she's like, can we go to the tower? And he's like, I don't think we got time to go to the tower. So they cross the river at under night. Mm-hmm. And they go over there. And guess what they do?
What do they do? Oh, I have to guess. They're gonna leave a bunch of... they're going to poop in a bag and then light the poop on fire and put it on someone's doorstep.
They're pretty accurate. They just litter. They're like, it's the worst thing that could happen here. Canadians hate litter. Yeah. We're so used to it here. But over there, they're not used to it. And then some mantis show up. And they scatter, they're like, get out of here, go away. And Honey pulls out a gun on them.
Holy shit.
And they start arguing with each other, the Mounties do. But this time, all the Americans escape.
Yes.
And they realize they left Honey, and that's the end of my half.
Yes. The Mounties argue over how to properly end sentences. That's what they're arguing
about. Oh, yes.
About.
Very, yeah. Very normal things to argue about.
Yeah, I wrote down, you
it's
can
like
tell.
A podcast or something.
but yeah, they say, that was close, but they forgot Honey. They left her behind. And they're like, we abandoned them. And this was one of the worst scenes in the whole movie. I was like, this is not funny. I don't like this movie already. Not a fan during this one particular scene.
I will say,
boat.
Whenever the four knuckleheads are together, or like that squad with John Candy, yeah. And they're like trying to do something, it's not my favorite.
Yeah.
They're not the funniest part.
They're not the funniest part, although John Candy's great.
Yeah.
So then we cut Booker. John Candy is in a bar. There's a bunch of signs outside that says, keep America Canadian free, which hits a little close to home with Make America Great Again.
Yeah, well, you know.
TV shows President of the USA speaking. Canada is holding Honey hostage, apparently.
Ha!
And so they say, we're engaging in Operation Canadian Bacon. They say the name of the movie.
Oh, my God, finally.
President speaks directly to the PM of Canada, and he says, surrender her pronto. Or we'll love her little Toronto.
He does like saying rhymes like that.
I mean, it kind of works.
Because at one point, when he was talking about the factory shutting down, he's like, this will make our infrastructure way better. We're going to have way more education for the kids. Mm. So I say, let's turn off the factory and turn on kids. Oh, and everyone's like,
I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
So they show Honey on TV because they have a hostage tape of her in Canada, and she's yelling at the camera that's filming her, and she's like, Boomer, I fucking hate you, like hating him and hating
Canada. I mean,
that's
Canada. Still on TV now, people saying, Boomer, I fucking hate you.
Exactly. They say that all the time. That is very real. News says that they've gotten reports that Canada plans on killing her, eliminating her.
Okay.
And that she's being held at Niagara Falls. So
why wouldn't they take her more inland?
Well, I'll tell you why, because the American media is lying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're not actually planning on killing her.
Yeah.
But Boomer doesn't know that because he's watching TV. So he says, men, there's a time to think and a time to act. And this gentleman is no time to think. So we'll have one more round and then we'll get out of here. So they have another round at the bar.
Yeah.
And then they like get their guns ready and then they're going to head out. So Boomer and his gang sneak into Canada's hydroelectric plant with guns. And they threaten to kill whoever's working there, but it's the night shift, so it's just run by two old people. And so they tie the old people up, and they're looking for the power source for, like, the Mountie headquarters so they can, like, cut the power source off in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And they just flip a switch, hoping that it works, and it ends up blacking out most of Canada. So most of Canada's power just goes out, basically.
Yeah, because they're all running on hydropower.
Exactly.
You know? They're so clean.
They're so clean. They're so much better. The PM calls the president. President admits that he has no idea what's going on with the power. It's like that this was not us. And then Rip Torn is like, there's obviously a trap. You know, like there's obviously like Canada trapping us or whatever. And the PM is like, no, I think it's that boomer guy that saved your life. I think he's behind all this.
It's so random to be like, remember that one guy
that saved your life?
Whatever evidence is there. I don't remember.
I honestly don't know what evidence he has that boomer's behind all this.
Oh, maybe because they recognize Honey?
Or maybe, well, I mean, there were two people working at the hydro plant, so maybe they could identify him.
That's true. Well, they did get, I don't remember what happened to those people who got captured by them, who were working with America.
Yeah, yeah.
But they were pretending to be Canadian. I don't know.
I don't know.
So that could be a way.
Either way, so we cut to the Mountie headquarters, and the Mountie, who's played by American actor Stephen Wright, yes. whom I love,
yeah.
Writes a card to someone, and he's like, I just want to say that I love you. And even though you're a criminal, I hope you're doing well. And thank you for keeping your cell clean. And I miss you. It's like a Mountie writing to a criminal in jail. And he's just like, I hope you're doing okay, buddy. So Boomer and his gang bust in. And they're like, we're looking for prisoners. And the Mountie says, I don't know what you're talking about. And then everyone says, we have ways of making you pronounce the letter O.
That's really funny.
So he's like, all right, so here's all the prisoners we have. There's this one guy who... We threw it in prison for some crazy, ridiculous reason that isn't that big of a deal. And then we threw this guy in prison because he was having too many bad moods. And then we threw this guy in prison because he raided a company, merged it with a conglomerate, and then fired all his employees. And then he's like, and then he looks at the guy in prison. He's like, you're fucking sick. Well, this is Stephen Wright saying this. Boomer's like, get them out of here.
Yeah,
so obviously
like,
the American doesn't care about any of this.
No.
But the Mountie, the Canadian Mountie, is like, I can't believe this guy fired all of his employees after, you know, destroying his company and then merging it with a conglomerate and then making a bunch of money off of it. It's a great moment. And honestly, that's when this movie like won me over. I'm like, okay, Michael Moore has done a very
good
job.
That's the thing, is it's like the jokes are like, yep. Yep. Mm-hmm. 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 Yep. I mean, they're just saying stuff that's existing.
But it's like, it's different.
They got good timing. I think the thing is
that's
like,
what it is. Because it's not just of like a, oh, clap because you agree with this. Like, obviously I agree with this. But it's actually just like the way it's all set up and like laid out. It's like, it's very well yeah. like set up.
There's comedies that do this, but that have no good funny joke at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Or it's like offensive in some way.
Yeah, yeah. He did all this awful stuff and also he's gay.
Also, he's blowing dudes.
So Boomer's like, okay, so we need to find Honey, and like starts describing Honey to the Mountie. And the Mountie's like, oh, we took her to the Capitol for a mental health examination. Mm-hmm. We're trying to help her. You know, yeah. Trying to make her feel better. We took her to the Capitol of Canada. And Boomer's like, oh, you took her to Toronto. And the Mountie's like, no, we took her to Ottawa. And Boomer's like, you think I'm a fucking idiot? Ottawa's not the capital of Canada. It's Toronto. Audience. Ottawa is the capital of Toronto. And so they're like, we're going
to
Toronto.
Wait, Ottawa is the capital of Toronto?
Sorry,
in Canada.
Yes.
Just want to make
Ottawa
sure.
I'm getting confused, Mike.
I'm getting confused.
There's too many names. No, Ottawa
name
is the
name every state in Canada.
Provinces?
Yeah. Name them. Name them all.
I'm good. So they're like, we're going to Toronto because they think they're going to the capital, which actually they're going to the right place, surprisingly.
Uh-huh.
So the president considers sending Omega Force against Boomer and his gang.
Omega Force.
Omega Force. It's a special tactical team of people, sort of like SWAT. But they go in and they're supposed to like fuck.
I was like
up.
Team America.
Sort of like Team America, actually. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay. And then this one guy who's working there is like, sir, don't you know that it's strictly prohibited to send Omega Force against Caucasians? Which is such a great joke. Because I was like, this is a perfect setup. Because you're like, it's strictly against, it's strictly prohibited to send it against Americans or our own, you know. It's like, no, Caucasians specifically. We will absolutely.
That's why we had a Cold War with Russia. We were chilling with them, basically.
Chilling for a Cold War.
Yeah.
So they're like, no, we got to make sure before this turns into a shooting war instead of remaining a Cold War like we wanted. And this is the first I've heard about them wanting it to be a Cold War, which really tickled me. Rip Torn is like, no, Boomer is a national idol. We can't just send Omega Force to kill him, you know, because the Americans won't like that. But
sure.
Eventually they end up doing it anyway. News report showing Americans being bigoted and violent towards Canadians and Canadian sympathizers. So that's great. Omega Force is sent in. It's a group of military gunmen. Like I said, the Mountie is playing Go Fish with his prisoners. Omega Force busts in and he tells them where Boomer is going. He's like, he's going to Toronto. So they're like, all right, we're going to Toronto. So this is one of my favorite. Oh wait, is it right now? No, not yet. Sorry. Boomer is Boomer's driving, and Cabral. Yeah. Cabral's like, hey, why am I not driving?
The only black guy.
He's like, why am I not driving? Why are black guys not allowed to drive? And so Boomer's like, tons of black guys drive, like Danny Glover in Driving Miss Daisy. And Boomer's like, that wasn't Danny Glover. Danny Glover drove Mel Gibson or whatever. And so Boomer's like, he keeps fucking up all these black actors and mixing them up with other black actors. And it's very funny.
Oh, man.
And then suddenly a cop pulls them over. Now, remember how you mentioned
what's Roy Boy doing this whole time?
He's just sitting in between them. Okay. He's barely saying anything. He just looks like he kind of looks like
Like he's a school shooter, right? Like,
100%.
He's just going to do something like that.
He sort of he just looks like a shitting chihuahua. Like that's He's got big old eyes and his teeth are all fucked up. He's always shivering. So then they get pulled over by a cop. Ethan, who plays the cop in Ontario?
Oh, God, I have no idea. I literally have no idea.
Dan Aykroyd. So we have a 1941 reunion here.
Oh, because Dan Aykroyd. Oh, no, you're right.
Yeah, because Dan Aykroyd and John Candy were both in 1941.
That's why I reminded you so much of it.
It honestly, up until now, I was like, I kind of thinking about 1941, and then this happened. I'm like, holy fucking shit, this is crazy.
It's the same movie but better.
Honestly, it is. So the cop is actually very friendly and asks Boomer, like, hey, so what's up with this hateful speech on the side of your truck? Now, earlier I didn't mention this, but Boomer and all the other guys spray painted a bunch of really shitty things on the side of the truck that they have, and it says, "You suck, Canada, ooh, USA all the way, ooh, and Canucks are dog meat."
Ooh.
And Boomer's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, a bunch of kids just spray painted this. And the cop's like, no. You don't understand. This might have upset a lot of people around here because they're all French. And none of this is in France, in French. So those of us are French Canadians. And as you know, if anything's written in English, it also has to be written in French. So he gives them like a spray paint. He's like, can you now translate everything on the side of the truck? And then you can be on your way.
Yeah.
So John Candy goes in and spray paints the translation of everything from American from English to French. And then they drive off. And it's really great. Now, this is my favorite part of the whole movie. You ready?
Uh-huh.
So John Candy gets in the truck and it's him and Roy Boy and Cabral. And they're all driving. And then they start going like, we got to sing like songs that inspire us. Like we got to sing songs about America. And so they're driving and they just go like, born in the USA, born in the USA, born in the USA.
The song, huh?
That's all they know. They only know the chorus of the song, which is truly the greatest shit in the world. Like, didn't this song play at like fucking like Trump's inauguration or some bullshit? And like,
pretty much, yeah.
Nobody fucking listens to the rest of the lyrics, which is clearly like, you shouldn't be that proud of being from the United States of America.
Yeah, probably not.
Not like the greatest country in the world. And then they like cut away and they cut back and they're all singing Oklahoma. Oklahoma. They're just trying to name songs where the chorus is like based off of places in America, but they don't know any of the other lyrics.
Oh my God. So
fucking good. So we cut back to Honey. Honey wakes up in a mental health facility clinic, and she's surrounded by a bunch of fluffy plushies and some kids in her. And the kids are like, they're like candy stripers. And she's like, aren't you guys too young to be doctors? And they're like, well, actually, according to our universal healthcare system, you're not going to need to see a doctor until 2006. Seems like you're perfectly fine health-wise. And then she beats them up and ties them up. And then she steals their outfits and the weapons, and then she escapes. So she's out on the loose, and she has a gun.
Okay.
Now, here's my other favorite part of the movie. So then we just get a wide shot. Because you have to remind us that Omega Force is coming for our boys, right?
Sorry, I was looking at the parts of this movie and I just saw how much money it made.
How much money did it make?
So it cost $11 million to make. Box office,
$178,000. Oh,
that's so bad.
That's very bad for a movie that I consider to be quite good.
Yeah.
For instance, this scene.
Okay.
So we have Omega Force, but a bunch of army is running across, and it's like one wide shot. And you just see an army of Omega Force running across a field, right? Mm-hmm. And they're just running and running and running. And the one guy just like trips and falls. And I was like, okay, that's like, it looked so real. I was like, oh, this is probably like a mistake. But then the camera just holds on this guy, and it's like that scene in Family Guy, but funnier, where like Peter falls over and he goes like, but it's like that. And the guy's like in a wide shot and he's still just going like, ow, fuck, that fucking hurt. Like, I can't believe I fell over. And then another like Omega Force guy comes over from off screen. He's just like, hey man, it's okay. You doing okay? You fine? And the guy's like, I fucking just so hurt so fucking bad. And then the Omega Force guy's like, it's okay, man. You're going to be fine. It's all good. Pulls a gun and just shoots him in the head.
That's pretty funny.
It was so fucking good. So Boomer and his crew, they're all sitting around because it's been a long day and they're sitting around a campfire. And they're talking about The Dirty Dozen and how it's a really good movie. And Cabral's like, you know what's talking about The Dirty Dozen? Black guy always dies. Mm-hmm. And then they start listing off movies. They're like Unforgiven, Alien, Rocky IV, The Shining, Star Trek II, Forrest Gump, yep. Witness. And then Boomer says, Annie Hall? No, wait, not Annie Hall. And then Rob Roy or whatever says, Night of the Living Dead? And Boomer's like, that's the one. And then someone says, what about Jurassic Park? And Boomer's like, two guys die in that one. It's a twofer. He must be really pissed about that movie.
Yeah.
It's so good. And then suddenly we get to Cabral and he gets super nervous because he realizes he's in a movie and he's a black guy.
Oh no.
He's like, oh shit, am I gonna die in this movie? It's such a good moment.
That's so stupid. I like it.
So old man, I realize the guy's name is Hacker. He has his like hacker program opened up, the Hacker Hell Force or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's using it to fire a bunch of nuclear missiles at the CN Tower. No, he's from the CN Tower, but they're firing from other places. So the CN Tower is gonna send.
Yeah, apparently it can like shoot nukes from anywhere in the world. Yeah. Is the thing.
So he's using the CN Tower to do that. So he's gonna send them and have them shoot at Russia, but he's gonna blame Canada on that basically, even though Hacker has his own missile system in his own house.
Got it.
See, you see, okay. Understand what I'm saying?
I'm following. Cool. Okay.
It's all very confusing.
It is.
So he's 12 hours. They have 12 hours to stop this. The White House starts freaking out. Rip Torn reports the missiles are pointed towards Russia. He realizes whoever is shooting the missiles is in Canada because they own the Hacker Hellstorm. We cut to news footage and they say, like, we are giving you as much information as the American people need. And it's all censored. It just is like, beep. And then then the kids are saying, beep. It's like, it's all that. It's so good. Boomer and his crew enter Toronto. They don't see anyone around. So they pull up to a kid who says that there's some crazy lady on the CN Tower. And motherfucker, we get a ton of gorgeous shots of the CN Tower. It really feels like Nirvana, the band, the movie, the movie. It feels amazing.
There you go.
Honey is at the top of the CN Tower with a giant fucking gun. Mm-hmm. And there's
she's
a bunch
to get
of
lightning to strike it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's a bunch of, she's trying to jump from the CN Tower into the Sky Dome next door.
Well, how else is she going to get famous?
She's going to play at the Rivoli.
Yeah.
So the Mounties ask politely if she'll come down from on top of the tower. She's like, they're like, can you please come down? And she's like, stop saying please, goddammit. So Hacker says that he has one that can launch missiles because he's like, don't worry, I'm the only one who can launch missiles because I'm the only one who has a code. So you don't have to be worried about that. He's not concerned about it. But he mentions that he sold one of the Hacker Hellstorms to Canada. So he's trying to like pin it on Canada, basically. And Rip Torn, he's like, I can't stop this. And the reason I sold it is because you closed down my place or whatever. So like he's pointing fingers. Everyone's pointing fingers at each other. And Rip Torn has this great line. He says, it's scum like you that make a simple war all screwed up and confusing. Just so great.
It's a simple war.
Hacker says that he built two Hellstorms and he'll sell them the other one to the president for $1 trillion.
Love a private military contractor can do that.
I love a private military contractor in cahoots with the president that becomes a trillionaire. Love it!
Oh, yeah. But then sells the items to the... Yeah, makes sense. Make a money exchange.
Yeah,
the American people use those tax dollars.
Proud to be an American. Yeah, Boomer pushes through the crowd of Canadians to get to the CN Tower, and everyone says sorry when they bump into him. 30 minutes until the missiles launch. Suddenly 7 minutes until the missiles launch. President's Representative Smiley accuses Hacker of launching the missiles and essentially holding Canada, USA, and Russia hostage for $1 trillion. So Smiley beats up Hacker, and he takes the codes, but is arrested because it looked like he killed Hacker. Rip Torn says that he's going to torture Smiley later, taking him away gagged. No. So now Smiley...
Smiley converted, and he came cool.
But it's too late, yeah. And because Rip Torn doesn't like him, nothing can stop these missiles now. Omega Force approaches the CN Tower. Boomer runs up the CN Tower. He's running up the stairs to get up to the top because that's where Honey is. Mm-hmm. Honey's at the very top. Rip Torn tells the president, he's like, I will destroy any nation, including this one, if the president tells me to. Which is such an insane thing to tell somebody.
Whatever the president says, I'll do it.
So the president says that he can't kill. He's like, I can't kill Canada. I vacation up there. Just so good. So the president is then told that he's lost contact of Omega Force. They won't be able to call them off. I don't really know why that was included, because that doesn't ever come into play.
Yeah.
Honey hears that the Hacker Hellstorm countdown is in the CN Tower. So with less than a minute to go, she just starts shooting up the control board inside of the CN Tower, saves the world.
Wow.
So then Boomer comes up to the very top, and the two of them take the elevator down, and they steal an ambulance, and they get on a boat. And they look back at their home, and they're like, look at the good U.S. of A. And we cut to the USA, and it's just a bunch of factories spewing pollution.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, brother. It's such
a good joke, dude.
Hell yeah.
And then the movie ends, and we get credits, but then we also show everybody what happened to them. Boomer became a regular on Cops.
Hey.
Honey, the NRA's Humanitarian of the Year.
Humanitarian, okay.
President defeated in a landslide during the next election, and now he hosts a TV show. Smiley served 8 months of a life sentence and then pardoned by the next president.
Yeah, that sounds accurate.
Rip Torn took his life after learning Hogan's Heroes was fictional. This is my second favorite one. Hacker. His body can be viewed from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Republican National Headquarters.
That's really funny. That's
very real. Cabral is the NHL MVP 3 years in a row.
Okay, so.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Earlier in the movie, when they were doing the hockey thing, I think it was Roy Boy asked him, he's like, how come there's no black guys doing hockey?
Yeah.
He's like, listen, brothers are going to figure it out. We're working on it. I think it's easy to dominate every single sport. It takes some time. We're getting there. We're getting there. So that's what that's.
It's very good. And then the very last one is what's his name? Roy Boy.
Yeah.
Roy Boy. Whereabouts unknown.
I'm surprised it's not a post-credit scene. He's like blowing up something.
No, it's just so funny because they find like the most unhinged photo of Roy Boy, just like big fucking beady eyes and crazy teeth, and just says whereabouts unknown. This movie rocks. I give it like 5 fucking maple leaves, whatever
5
we're doing.
5 maple leaves, let's go.
This shit rocks.
I was surprised
so
how
funny.
Much I liked this movie.
It's hard to watch a comedy for this podcast, as said. This works so well. It's like consistently funny. It's like weirdly prescient. John Candy is so fucking good in it.
I wonder if like because it was coming out in the time and maybe that style of comedy was just played out back
probably.
Then. That, like, it didn't hit, and it's just like, okay, what are you doing something? But, like, the fact that the looking forward into kind of, like, what American politics is going to be, or just even seeing it in, like, a different lens,
I think
really holds up.
I think me and you fall into a weird place, because I was looking this movie up on Letterboxd as well, and a lot of people were like, wow, it's kind of crazy how much this movie, like, hold out a lot of stuff that didn't eventually occur, but it doesn't make it a good movie. And I think we fell into an interesting, like, place you and me Ethan, mm-hmm. where it's like we grew up on comedies like this and we understand like these are they're almost sort of like nostalgic, like this sort of like mile a minute, like gag mm-hmm. you know, like really sort of like flatly directed movies with like a bunch of like improvisers and sketch comedians like John Candy or whatever. So we understand like that kind of comedy. It's not, you know, not too raunchy. It's just mostly sort of like, you know, weird funny humor. And then we're also living through hell right now. And so we sort of accept both of those, where it's like, I feel like if you were old enough when this movie came out, you know, this felt like weirdly anti-American or like whatever, you probably were like, this fucking sucks.
Well, I mean,
they're like
Clinton.
Yeah.
That was a great time.
Everything's going
great
for Clinton.
People were fucking blown in the White House. It was great.
People were getting blown in the
White
House.
People were getting blown. People.
But yeah, no, I think we just sort of fall into a weird place where we look back on this sort of thing with a weird nostalgic feeling, and we also accept that it is very accurate to our current living situation.
Yeah. So I got some, I pulled up a couple reviews that I thought were poignant. Most people just said it wasn't funny. Mm. I'm just like, what? Okay.
That's not true. I think it is very fucking funny. It's honestly shocking to me that Michael Moore hasn't made another one of these.
Yeah.
Probably because this one lost so much
money.
The
thing is, it's like, if you make, he made no money off this. Like, yeah. It's lost so much. But like, the thing is, you know, I think that it's hard to make a parody of this shit now.
Yeah,
like,
that's fair.
At the time, I was like, this is so absurd. It's funny. Now you're just like, yeah, that just happened.
You just
point at it.
And you go like, isn't that
like,
fucking
if
nuts?
If this movie was made now, I don't think it would be very funny.
No.
It would just be like, oh yeah, that happened. What's so funny about it?
Yeah. It's not funny because that's actually bad that this happened. Yeah exactly.
So some of the reviews said, the writer-director Michael Moore was hit on a sharp idea for a skit. The satire is too toothless to draw blood, though, while the mildly starry cast was surprisingly obtrusive.
No.
Okay. The premise behind Canadian Bacon is so absurd that it could very well have come from the mind of Mel Brooks.
It does feel kind of like a Mel Brooks comedy a little bit.
Yeah. A little bit, but funny.
But funny. Yeah.
Hey. Well, I had a good time watching this movie. I was surprised because I thought
it
was going to be a huge chore.
When I opened this movie, the first 5 minutes, I was like, I'm not going to like this. This is going to be a bad time. I was going to text you, and I was like, when I was only 5 minutes into my half of the movie, I'm like, is there any other movie you can watch? Like, there's got to be something else. I'm glad I didn't.
Glad you kept
this
watching.
This was wonderful.
It was a good time.
Highly recommend checking this movie out, guys.
Very surprised by it.
Guys, are you from Canada? Have you seen this movie? Email us, nemailtheotherhotpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. We're also on Blue Sky, and we have a Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous Canadian month episodes or the future ones, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read in the show no matter what it says, even if it is prophesizing some insane thing that's going to happen in, 20 years?
Sure. 30 years.
30 years.
Yeah,
95. Because this was 95.
95.
So the millennia.
Uh-huh.
And then 10.
Yeah.
And then 20.
Yeah.
That's how math works.
That's how math works, exactly. One thing I read in one of the reviews also was that they were saying it's like, this movie hates Canada as much as it hates America.
It's not true
and I'm
at
like,
all.
I don't think you're talking.
Honestly, that's the only toothless thing about the movies. I don't feel like it actually brings up any of the real problems about like Canadian like society and culture. Like, there's a lot that's very good as far as like, you know, money and like social security and all that, but there's, you know, I don't think it treated the native people that well over there.
I mean, not like we're shining an example either. But
no, we are not. We are not. But yes. They're not a shining example.
No, they're definitely not. Definitely not. Yeah, no. There's definitely a little bit too like, ooh, is this the best place ever? Kind of held up in the movie. Which is like,
it's funny compared to like how America is. Absolutely. And obviously, like, because I think that Michael Moore had also made like a documentary, I want to say like a decade or so after this, about like the American healthcare system and how people were like, you know, going poor and like, you know, they were like, you can either survive or you can, you know, die.
Yeah. I mean, those are kind of the two options, right? Or going to debt.
What am I saying? Yeah, going to debt.
Yeah.
That's right.
You could either survive or die.
Or die. Yeah. But yeah, so like, I think that was most forefront of his mind, which is, I think, a fair point to make.
Yeah. I mean, it's very easy when you see a neighbor next to you being like, yeah, no,
they're doing everything right. Yeah.
Clean cities, chilling out.
Yeah.
Not many homeless people up there.
Yeah.
It's great.
Just too many socialists up there.
Too many dang socialists.
Ugh,
why don't
they're
we
the
call
worst.
Why don't we call them what they are? The communists.
The communists.
That's why they're red.
Ah, good night, everybody. 'd you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.